And our last headline takes us to the Motor City, where the NAACP's annual convention starts tomorrow. Members of America's oldest civil rights organization are gathering in Detroit to talk about the Iraq War, next year's presidential election, and the N-word. The NAACP will also be handling some family business. The group is retooling after President and CEO Bruce Gordon quit earlier this year. Today, we have with us the NAACP's chairman, Julian Bond. Mr. Bond, welcome back.
Thank you.
So, what's the most important item you think on the agenda for this year's conference?
Gee, it's hard to pick one that stands above all. Our mission is to fight racial discrimination, and sadly, that's still a pressing problem in the United States. So we'll be talking about the many different ways one can go about fighting this ancient problem.
How did you feel personally when you heard the Supreme Court's desegregation ruling, which a lot of people are saying is rolling back the clock on issues that the NAACP and other organizations championed?
Well, it's absolutely rolling back the clock. You know, they took the position that race can't be used under any circumstances in trying to eliminate racial discrimination. And, of course, you cannot eliminate racial discrimination without using race. So this was a severe setback, and one can only hope that school districts around the country will find a way to try to fit the prescription laid out by Justice Kennedy, who suggested that there were occasions when race could be used.
Let me turn to black folks in the war. You have a situation where African Americans have consistently been less pleased with the president's handling of the war, with the overall status of the war. And now you have a situation where the military is essentially hemorrhaging black military members. You have a 40% decline in the number of folks who are enrolled and enlisted in the military from the black community. What have you got on the agenda for the issues of Iraq and the military for your convention?
Well, we're proud to say that we opposed the war before it started. We were on the right side of history from the very first. The news about the lessening numbers of blacks in the service, leaving apart the issue of the war, is bad news because the American military has generally been a place where upward mobility is offered to racial minorities. It is a relatively fair segment of our society. It's a place where people who aren't sure about what their role in life may be find a place where they can exercise their talents. So it's bad news that the numbers are going down, but I guess it's a reflection of the great unpopularity of the war.
So let's turn a little bit to the federal government. Last year, the president spoke at the convention, but it took 5 years to get him to play ball. Have you met with President Bush since?
I've not personally met with him, but members of our organization have met with him. My vice chair, Rosalind Brock, was in the White House about 3-4 weeks ago and had a quick conversation with the president. So relations are better than they used to be. The bad news is that we ask all of the presidential candidates to come to our convention, but only the Democrats have said yes.
Do the Republicans then think that it's a lost cause because of the overwhelming numbers of support for the Democratic Party among black voters?
Well, if they do, it goes against what they've been saying all along. They keep saying they want to reach out to racial minorities who haven't been friendly to the Republican Party. President Bush himself told us when he spoke to us that black Americans don't trust the Republican Party. Well, if that's true, one way to overcome that distrust is to come and appear to us, appeal to us. We'd like to hear what they have to say.
One person who is stepping up to have his say is Michael Chertoff, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. There's been these issues of domestic surveillance, just had a court case thrown out against the president. Why did you select Mr. Chertoff? What is it important for him to say to your audience?
Well, he's speaking at our military dinner. We annually have a military dinner, generally have a military figure speak to it. Now, you can't say that Secretary Chertoff is a military person, but he heads a quasi-military agency, one that is supposed to be watching our security and making sure that what happened on 9/11 doesn't happen again. So I think in that context it fits, and we're anxious to hear what he has to say.
I want to turn now to the NAACP itself. Your group's last president and CEO, Bruce Gordon, resigned in March fairly suddenly. You've trimmed your staff, shuttered some of your regional offices. And last month, NPR's Tony Cox spoke with NAACP interim president and CEO, Dennis Hayes. He was responding to a question about the role Bruce Gordon's sudden departure may have had on the group's financial condition.
The reality is that the NAACP's past CEO left unexpectedly amidst several fundraising initiatives that sort of stopped at the time and have to be regenerated. And he left at a time that we didn't have a chief fundraiser. Had he stayed, it's speculative as to whether we would have met the revenue projections for the year, but it's also true that for the past several years, the NAACP has missed its revenue projections, and we've decided that we won't draw down on our reserves unless absolutely necessary.
So there it sounds like Hayes is basically saying it's Gordon's fault, and Gordon told the Baltimore Sun that the NAACP's board, which you lead, is the fault. So how do you break it down?
Well, there are 64 people on the board. Are the 64 people wrong, or is the one person who quit the huff wrong? I don't want to get into a back and forth with Bruce Gordon. Both of us, I think, have said far too much about his departure. But the fact is that if any organization precipitously loses its top official, then there's some moments of turmoil within the organization, and we certainly experience some measures of turmoil. But we're on the road to recovery. We're got our fundraising apparatus in place, and I feel quite confident that within not the immediate future, but say 6 to 9 months, we'll be back on solid ground once again.
What's the average age of your members?
I have no idea, but I will tell you this, that young people, and that's high school and college age, are the fastest growing segment of our membership. If there's any lack in up and down the age ladder, it's not kids, it's not college students. It's people in the, say, 35 to 45 or 25 to 45-year-old range. But that's true of so many volunteer organizations. Apparently, this cohort is building jobs, building homes and families, engaged in personal efforts that don't leave them much time for volunteer organizations like ours. We know when they get to hit 45, they'll come back to us.
Do you have time? Though, do you have time to get those people into the fold? You've got your 100th anniversary coming up in a couple years. You are having these financial decision-making issues that you have to make. I presume that there's some way to attract people in that age group. What are you going to do about it?
Well, we're trying every way we can. We've, for the last several years, had an exercise we call Leadership 500, where we invite people in this age group who are not affiliated with the NAACP to spend a weekend learning about us. We're going to continue that. We're growing our youth chapters, our high school chapters. These are people whom we hope will continue on with the NAACP as they get older, and some of them do. But we're like the church. You go into a church today, you see a lot of kids, you see a lot of older people. You don't see that important middle cohort, and we, like the church and other organizations, are desperate to get a hold of them.
If you had to describe the NAACP as a person who had gone through various stages of development and tackled various issues, where would the NAACP be now? You have, if you say it's a person, you have someone who was a freedom fighter, a justice leader. What now is that body trying to do?
I thought you were going to ask me to mention a name of some person the NAACP was like. This is like a Barbara Walters interview. But I think we'd be calling ourselves a freedom fighter. We'd call ourselves someone who is tried and true, who's won many, many victories in the past, who will win other victories in the future, who needs help from every American in the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. We think colored people come in all colors, and anybody who shares our values is more than welcome. All they've got to do is go to NAACP.org on the internet and join up.
Finally, very briefly, how long do you plan to stay in your position?
Well, NAACP chairs have one-year terms. I'm in my 9th term. I'd very much like to be here when we celebrate our centennial in 2009, but that's up to the electorate, my board of directors, but I'm going to ask them to send me back a couple more times.
All right. On that note, Mr. Bond, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Julian Bond is chairman of the NAACP. Their annual convention begins tomorrow in Detroit. We'll be right back.